tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope each and every one of you have had a blessed week. As we are in the holiday season, it's easy to get caught up in the hustle and the bustle, the commercialism, the materialism, and lose sight of what is really important and what the season is really about. Christmas is not about how many gifts you get or if you'll have enough money to buy for all those loved ones. Christmas is the birthday, the celebration of Jesus. It's a time for reflection of all that God has given us and the sacrifices He made so that we could be reconciled with Him through the death of His Son on the cross. There has been no greater birthday that has impacted the entire world for over 2,000 years. Christmas is celebrating Jesus, the first thing, and then being with your families to celebrate being together and all your blessings. Today's message is about expect, and I put emphasis on that, expect that He will provide. I want to share this verse with you from James 4:2. The Bible says that you have not because you ask not. Let me further go on to say that what causes the quarrels among you, don't they come from desires that battle from within you? You desire, but you do not have. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And with that, let's go ahead and bow our head in a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. We are joined here together today to hear and to receive your message. Father, soften our hearts and minds to be receptive to what you want each of us to get from today's message. Dear Heavenly Father, we oftentimes become impatient, waiting on you to answer our prayers. We attempt to make things happen faster in our own will, and then we find trouble and our prayers do not get answered. Forgive us of our sins. Father, please help each of us to have more patience, to remember that you are in control. Your perfect timing is always perfect, and we can always count on you, love you, and trust you. When we seek you and ask, remind us that it is already done. There is victory in you. Though our prayers may not be instantly answered, we may feel as if we have been ignored or the answer is no. Lord, please convict us when we start to take things in our own hands, and remind us that whatever you have decided for us is always going to be the best for us. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel, and may the words I speak come straight from you. We thank you in advance for these answered prayers and for what you are lining up for us behind the scenes right now. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in that moment of prayer. So let's go ahead and get started with today's message, shall we? In Psalms 23:1, the Bible tells us that the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. That verse pretty much says it all. As we are yoked to Him and depend on Him, we have exactly what we need. We can count on Him. He is our Father, and He wants us to trust in Him completely. One of the problems that we have is that we rarely have it before we need it. As many of you may be able to relate to, myself included, we all can tend to grow impatient when God doesn't respond in our expected time frame. Don't we all, at one time or another, feel tempted to just throw off the yoke and set out on our own to find the supply that we need? But friends, when we do this, we oftentimes find ourselves in much deeper trouble. Time and time again, God has proven to be very faithful. In times of sorrow, He gives us sweet comfort. in times of disappointment, He renews our perspective. In our confusion, He brings clarity. In our state of exhaustion, He restores our body. When we are in doubt, He refreshes our faith. In our times of need, He always supplies. Our souls know that we can trust Him to provide, but it is our emotions that need the reminder. The psalmist David declared that God is all we need, and later in the 23rd Psalm speaks of walking through the darkest valleys. Even in the worst circumstances, God is with us, and He meets our needs exactly at the very moment we need them met. And not only does He meet our need, but provides for us abundantly. David also said, "My cup overfloweth with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life." Like David, we all need to remind ourselves that because we are yoked with Jesus, we have all that we need. In the 23rd Psalm is said to be one of the most healing prayers ever found in the Old Testament of the Bible. When it is repeated often, it can help turn around negative thinking and assist a person with fears and even total despair. Let me dig into Psalms 23 a little bit deeper. The setting for the psalm is King David. He grew up and he worked as a shepherd, so he knew a lot about the subject of shepherding. He loved the metaphor of seeing God as a shepherd. A shepherd's job is to care for his flock, making sure that they are safe, nourished, calm, and happy at all times. Sheep, same as we are vulnerable to danger from wolves, other predators, Satan. To care for the sheep correctly, the shepherd must take them to a place where they will be safe and protected from predators and other hazards, and to keep them together so that they don't stray from the group. From that, we take away that God does this for us if we submit to His will. I want to explain the 23rd Psalm a little better, so let's take it step by step. The Lord is my shepherd. God is our shepherd. He helps us to find food, water, work, love, friends, and all else that we need. He also protects us from evil. He also gently and or firmly prods us when we step out of line and we deviate from His plan for our lives. I shall not want. This is a very powerful statement, friends. This means that even though we may not have everything that our egos want, we will still be cared for, loved, and provided for anyway. I shall not want means that I will be okay. We will have health, money, friends, family, respect, love, and all else. Maybe not in the way that we want it, but in the way God wants us to have it. You can have it all, at least all of what you need, if we choose to let God have control over our life. This verse, "I shall not want," also implies that our lives, we cannot control our lives by wanting all the time. Always wanting more and more things is a miserable way to live, but in today's society is an all too common one. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep require plenty of green pasture in which to graze and eat. At a much deeper level, it means that God provides nourishment for our body, mind, and soul, that which is wholesome and healthful to our bodies. It does not say that we must all struggle to make ends meet. Notice also that the verse says, "He maketh me to lie down." What this means is the God that is not mere, He is not merely suggesting that we lie down. What this means is that at times we are forced to rest. And friends, I don't know if any of you out there can relate to this, but I have a tendency to run myself so hard all the time, and even beyond that, beyond my limits, until at some point I believe that God says, okay, if you won't stop on your own to rest, I will make you stop. My body can only put up with a high-paced lifestyle for so long, and then my body's immune system fails, and I will come down with a cold that knocks me out of commission for a few days and even up to a week sometimes. I've always been like this, even as a small child. I believe it's my own body's built-in survival mechanism. I can always tell when I'm going to be under weather for a while, and I always know what that means, that I have been doing too much and not taking very good care of myself. It's quite frustrating. But if God hadn't created me like this, then I would probably never stop to rest. My mind and body tend to race all the time. And what about the verse that said, He leadeth me beside clear waters? The still waters continues from the previous line. It presents peace, or represents peace, love, harmony, and beauty. He restores my soul. When a person is too busy retracing steps from the past, old traumas, old hurts, and also trying to restore health and joy, sometimes it just confuses us more, and we can feel as if our soul is lost, maybe even destroyed. This line is extremely comforting for those who have feelings about their life like that, that He restores our soul. He leadeth beside the clear waters. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. When someone is hurting, trying to heal, sometimes we don't know which direction to turn to, or where to go, or what path we should maintain traveling. This assures that God will lead us in the direction of the righteousness, meaning that the path is, this one is the most wholesome for our body. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. For people undergoing this journey of healing and retracing our lives, this line is very, very important. It tells us that we may not have to walk through difficult times, or that we may have to walk in difficult times in our life, but we are not alone. We need not fear, for the Lord our God is with us always. Friends, sometimes in order to heal, we must retrace those difficult times from the past to correct things, to heal, or even get a different understanding of what might have happened back in those days. It can be a very painful feeling, but again, we are not alone. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Traditionally, shepherds carried rod and staff to guide the sheep and to ward off predators that could harm the flock. And just like that, we may get prodded or pushed at times, but it is for our own good. It may be for our own protection. It may be to keep us on the right path. Friends, there is comfort in knowing that we are loved and cared for very deeply by our Heavenly Father. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. This line is of particular interest. It implies that we will encounter enemies and or other dark forces that do not want us to continue to heal. It also states that no matter what, we will be taken care of in the midst of whatever challenge or struggle that we face. It says that a table or feast will still be spread out before us in spite of the forces of darkness around us. Thou anointest my head with oil. Anointing the head with oil used to be a practice back in biblical days to honor a person. It means that not only will be fed and cared for in the presence of our enemies, but that we will also be honored by our enemies. My cup runneth over. This phrase in the Bible means that we will be given more than we need or can even ever use. It means that we are truly abundant, abundantly loved and cared for beyond our needs or wants. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What does this even mean? It means that God's mercy will go with us wherever we go, whatever we do, even if we are in unfamiliar or uncomfortable situations and places. It is a promise of future protection. Mercy implies that we will sin, as we all do. We are flawed. None of us is perfect. Sometimes we will not think or act or speak correctly. We will not be perfect. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It means that if we allow God to be our shepherd, guide, and oversee, we will be treated with mercy. Our past mistakes forgiven. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In this verse, it is affirmation that if one chooses to dwell in a particular place, this being the house of the Lord, this means that we commit to the Lord. We live by His rules. We submit to His will and stay with Him forever. The word dwell also means to abide. And abide means to embrace, to follow, to be one with. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and take a short break before we continue. Please stay tuned to the second half of today's message. You won't want to miss it. You will be blessed. And we will rejoin after these two songs.
Lord, my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters. His goodness restores my soul.
Trust in you alone. yes, I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never. Worship your holy name, Jesus, I will worship your holy name, worship your holy
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me on the Hope Show today, and I hope you enjoyed those two songs. I am always so happy that you can join me to fellowship and learn more about God on these Saturdays. If you are just tuning in, today's message is, and I emphasize this word, expect. Expect that He will provide. Friends, expect something good to happen. Sometimes when we have had a series of disappointments, it's all too easy to slide into the mindset or get into the habit of only expecting more of the same. For some of you, perhaps you feel as if you don't expect anything good to happen, then you won't be disappointed when it doesn't. This is not how God wants us to live. Sometimes our past, perhaps how we grew up, can have a huge impact on who we are now, and we carry negativity wherever we go. Perhaps you're continually asking yourself, well, I wonder what bad thing is going to happen today. That's over half of the problem. Thinking negativity and expecting nothing. And they call that an evil foreboding. Friends, I knew a person that used to be very close to me that went through their whole lives living like this. And I can tell you, one negative thing after another kept happening over and over throughout this person's life, and it was very sad to see. And no matter what I said to try to help break that habit, it was always more of the same. This person was caught up in believing that nothing was ever going to happen, and that if they didn't believe that something good was going to happen and that they would never be disappointed. And I can tell you, watching someone live a life like that is painful, because you know that that's not right, that that's not what God wants for us to think or how He wants us to live. But sometimes, as in this person, they were quite stubborn, and they had certain things set in their mind, and there was nothing you were going to do to change their mind. But they call that evil foreboding. It is a fear of something bad happening when nothing was even going wrong. There are many people inflicted with this out there in the world today. And that is what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to expect something bad and to become fearful of the what-ifs. Fear is the opposite of faith, and it takes faith to accept anything good in our lives. When we expect something bad, those expectations are coming straight from Satan. Friends, God can't wait to be good to you and to me. God is so good all the time. Everything He does is good and wonderful. In fact, God wants to do something outrageously good in our lives every moment of every day. But we have to be ready, and we have to expect it to happen. We can't let Satan get in our mind. In Isaiah 30:18, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, longing to be gracious to you and to I. And therefore he lifts himself up, that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. Blessed, happy, fortunate are all who earnestly wait for him, who expect and look and long for him. Today is our day to start believing something good is going to happen to us. God is working in each of our lives right now. And when we get that breakthrough that we have been waiting for, it will be the result of what God has been doing for us all along. So friends, get in the habit of repeating to yourselves every day of your life. Declare this over our lives. God is good, and something good is going to happen today. Whether you see it, or even feel it or not. Gracious, keep praying and expecting, because God is longing to be gracious and good to each of us. God is good, and something good is going to happen to me today. I want to read Psalms 27, or parts of it, to you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, and my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, and the only thing that I do seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of the trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon the rock. That was from verses 1 through 5, Psalm 27. And in verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. So what does Psalms 27 mean? Let me break down parts of it for you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. This psalm came from a season of trouble, but it is also a song of confidence and victory. This is because when we are in the darkness or danger, the Lord is our light and our salvation. Our lives are filled with light no matter what the circumstance is. God rescues us. Salvation means deliverance. Light and salvation are promises from God. The Lord is the strength of my life, the stronghold of my life. If we rarely know what it is to have God be the strength of our life, then perhaps it is because we trust in so many other things for strength. We find it easier oftentimes to trust in our own wisdom, our own experiences, our friends, and other resources. But God is much greater. He has a much greater strength than you and I. And from whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Friends, because God is our light, our strength, our salvation, there is really nothing to fear or to be afraid of. When the wicked came against me, they stumbled and fell. God has proven over and over and over again to be reliable in our past and even currently in our lives. There are times when the wicked and even the armies come up against us, and still, God is our light and our salvation. He keeps us safe. He gives us a way of escape. We can't have fair weather faith in God that only lives in the easy circumstances of our life. God is always with us through the good and the bad. And there is richness in God, revealed by those who seek his heart, that many people never know. What a shame that we do not all know God as we should. There are special blessings and protection for those who earnestly seek God. It is not a promise to prevent trouble, but a promise for security and blessing in the midst of trouble, in the midst of all of our trials. He shall set us high upon the rock. Folks, I don't know about you, but that is such a comfort, that no matter what we are facing with, no matter what challenge, trial, trouble, that He will lift us upon the high rock, and He will protect us from those storms. Perhaps, as I said earlier in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. We need to be praying for the desires of our heart and believing victory over these things. And we need to pray, whatever our prayers are, we need to pray that that is also God's will. There's no room for doubt in our minds, because any amount of doubt is a lack of faith in God. We must believe what we pray for. Our prayers are a signal that we have abandoned trying to get things on our own, in our own way, and we are instead deferring to God's judgment about what we get and how we get it. Pray in confidence and faith, because God wants for our lives is so much better than anything we could possibly dream up on our own. In Matthew 12:21 and 22, the Bible tells us, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith and don't doubt that you can do things like this and so much more, you can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it if you don't doubt." Friends, I love these verses from the book of Matthew, and I believe it with all of my heart and my soul. I have actually witnessed and experienced these times in my own life, and I can testify to you today that it's true. It works. But you cannot have any doubt in your mind that it may or may not happen. This is one of God's promises. Friends, would you give your child or anyone else that you love such a promise as this if you had no intention of backing it up? And then you must pray with right motives. Sometimes we pray for something, but we're praying from an entirely the wrong motive. What makes you think that God will give you something if your heart is in the wrong place? We need to be praying with right motives. And not only the right motives, but the motives of Christ Himself. Pray in strong relationship with Christ. In another place of the Bible, in John 15:7, Jesus says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted." We all should expect this, but you cannot have even an iota of doubt in your mind that God may not give it to you. We all should expect good things. We should all expect that our prayers would be answered. To be motivated by the same things that motivate Christ. To ask in His place and ask for what He would ask for. We must have a right relationship with God. Pray according to God's will. Folks, I just can't stress that enough. And in John 5:14-15, the Bible says, "And we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. And since we know He hears us when we make our requests, then we should also know without a shadow of a doubt, that He will give us what we ask for." We cannot pray passively either. not expecting anything. We have confidence that God will accomplish His will, that He will act in His power, and that He will act out of His love, grace, wisdom, and perfect timing. We must expect Him to directly act in the situation. We just can't assume or presume to tell Him how He should do His job. Why does God say no sometimes? Because He is wise, and He is a loving Father. Sometimes He has to say no because the timing isn't right. Sometimes we are wrong, and sometimes we are asking for something that we don't even know we're asking for, and it could harm us. Friends, Exodus 14:13, the Bible tells us, "Do not be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today." I pray that today's message has really resonated in each of your hearts. And with that, let us bow now our head in a closing prayer. And folks, I'm going to share with you not a prayer from my own mouth, but an old but familiar prayer that I found. It's called the Knots Prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please untie the knots that are in our mind, our heart, and our life. Remove the have-nots, the can-nots, and the do-nots that we have in our mind. Erase the will-nots, the may-nots, the might-nots that may find a home in our heart. Release us from the could-nots, the would-nots, and the should-nots that obstruct our lives. And most of all, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that You remove from our mind, in our heart and our life, all of the am-nots that we have allowed to hold us back, especially the thought that perhaps we're not good enough, or the doubts that enter our mind that what we pray may not happen. Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive us of all of our sins and place an expectancy in our mind and in our heart, a knowledge that no matter what, You are with us and You are always by our side. And we can trust You in all things to give us what is good. Let there be no doubts. Father, give us the patience to wait on You and not take the matters into our own hands and get ahead of You by forcing something against Your will upon our lives. Fill our life abundantly with all that You have and all that You want for us to have. And as we receive that here and today, right now, this Saturday, may we always give You the praise, the glory, and the credit for all of our blessings. And we thank You in advance for these answered prayers in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Friends, I want to thank you today. And may God richly bless each and every one of you out there listening. And even those that aren't listening. And so until we join again, next week, same time, same place, I want each of you to know that I love you, I care about you, and I want you all to have a very blessed week. And let the Lord be with each and every one of you and your families as you go through this next week and the upcoming weeks ahead.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy under is always by my side. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Yeah.